You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
It's time for the ESO Dragon Con Report, a podcast dedicated to help newcomers and veterans prepare for the upcoming annual convention in downtown Atlanta. With interviews, advice, and news from the pros and fans alike, be careful, you never know, you might actually learn something.
Howdy, and welcome to the first ESO Dragon Con report for 2013. We are definitely going to be doing this a little different than we did last year. Last year we did about, I think it was like five, six episodes, like right before the convention.
We did five before and one after.
Yes, which was awesome. And we talked to a lot of cool people and had a lot of fun. And a lot of listeners really appreciated what we did. But so much information in so little time, we kind of figured that we'd spread it out a little bit more. Getting ready, preparing for Dragon Con is a year-long event. And there, as we'll see, there's news and information coming out on a monthly basis. So expect one of these shows each month up until the month of the show. And then we'll be there, of course, recording for Labor Day weekend as well. So, yes, for those that don't know, Dragon Con is one of the biggest conventions in America. And it happens Labor Day weekend. This year it's August 30th through September 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia, which is just a little over 200 days away from people who are listening.
As of this recording, it's actually 211 days, folks.
Yes.
Get your costumes ready. Get all your drinking buddies ready.
I'm sure some people are already costuming away. So, yes, and this could be something to listen to as you're preparing for your costume as well. So we've got the usual crew doing the Dragon Con report. Right now we have myself, Mike Gordon, hosting. And this wouldn't be an ESO production without Mike Faber, of course.
Thank you for having me, sir. It is a great honor and a great privilege for me to be here talking about Dragon Con. It's one of my favorite cons of the year.
Yes, and it definitely, like I said, a lot to talk about even this early.
Oh, very much so. There's going to be a lot of big news, and we're doing this, like Mike said earlier, a little bit different. We're going to make this a little tighter, a little more structured, and we're going to try to get you guys involved with the show, too, our listeners. And this show is not just for veterans of Dragon Con. This is for newbies and everyone in between. You know, I keep on learning new things from Dragon Con. Last year on this podcast, I was learning things from it, and I've been for 9 years. So it was actually really, really cool.
And we also have joining us once again this year, Darren Noel.
Howdy. What's up, guys?
Howdy. How are you? How is 2013 treating you?
It's good so far, you know. It's early in the year to tell.
I guess the main question is, have you fully recovered from Dragon Con 2012?
You know, I was listening to the live recording the other week. I didn't realize I was that blitzed. by God, I was gone. So, I think I've recovered.
You were smiling a lot.
I was very happy. Don't get me wrong. I've got lots of hazy memories to keep me company during the cold winter months. So, it was a great time, and I've recovered. I'm getting ready for my con schedule this year, which is going to be a little more aggressive than last year. So, and Dragon Con will end it for me this year. So, you know, it is what it is. Looking forward to some good times and some good folks. So,
Well, before we get into, and yeah, for those people who are just listening to this for the first, listening to us for the first time, I definitely want to just have all of us introduce ourselves and real quick, just our relationship to Dragon Con over the years. But I wanted to start with, in December, ESO, we were doing a year end, sort of year in review kind of episode. And we put out to our listeners, you know, what were the best moments of the year. And from one of our listeners, Elizabeth Laney, she wrote this, and I think it's the perfect way to send this, to start this Dragon Con report off. She said, quote, "Sappy or not, my favorite moment of the year was discovering the ESO network. It made me feel like I'm at Dragon Con all year long, and I'm really excited to have found such a great community. Thanks for everything you guys have done this year, and I look forward to all the great new shows we get to experience in 2013. So say we all.
Wait a minute. So, I didn't remember that part in that.
So say we all.
She said, and actually, well, she ended it then by saying, P.S. bow ties are cool.
That's better.
That was probably in all my years of podcasting, which has not been a lot, but still in all my years of podcasting, that's probably the best compliment that I think that we've ever gotten. Simply because for anybody to compare our show as a experience similar to Dragon Con and the community that goes on there and the fun that can be had, that's what we try to bring every week. And that's that sense of community and that sense of fandom and that sense of geekery, so to speak. and these episodes, these reports, are just sort of helping people prepare for the upcoming storm that is Dragon Con for 2013.
Exactly.
So, I've been going to Dragon Con myself ever since I moved to Atlanta. So since 94 is actually the first year I went, and it's gotten bigger and better every year. I've been really fortunate the last 2 years to have been a guest in the comic and pop art track. And my experiences now as a guest are just equally as strong, if not stronger, than as an attendee. And I'm still a fan. I still go around and do, you know, all the fandom stuff, too, when I get a chance. So it's a great show. To me, it's the highlight. And it's not just because it's in, you know, my backyard of Atlanta where I live. But I think no matter where I'd go, I'd want to come here to this show, because it's just there's nothing like it.
So. Hey, Mike. Mm-hmm. We also have our other co-host joining us.
Oh, do we?
Yes, we do.
Behind curtain number 3.
Let's welcome to the show. Let's welcome Mary Lou Who.
Mary's back. Woohoo!
Hey, guys.
Yay. Your timing is perfect, actually. We were just doing an introduction of everybody who's going to be on the show this year.
Excellent. Good for me.
Yep. Welcome, Mary.
Oh, not a whole lot. Just, you know, same old, same old. Pretty good.
I think the big question is, are you fully recovered from Dragon Con 2012?
From Dragon Con? Never. Never. I live in the continual Dragon Con hangover.
well put.
First honest thing that's been said on this podcast so far.
Glad I can help, and I bet you're surprised it's coming from me.
Of course. Well, welcome, Mary, and you know, what is, you want to talk about a little bit about your history with Dragon Con?
Sure. My first year at Dragon Con was 2011. And I wish that it had been so much sooner. I feel like I've missed out on, like, you know, half of my life by not having been to Dragon Con sooner. But I got really into cosplay and conventions. I've been going since like 2003, but to conventions in general, but I got really into going to as many as possible about 2011, about that time. So about the same time as my first Dragon Con. And I mean, I will never miss ever again. That's the end all be all of it. I will always be there. I will not accept a job that won't let me have Labor Day off. And I go to about one convention a month, just trying to chase the dragon. So
what would you say is it, just as quickly as you can, like, what is it about Dragon Con that makes it that, like, must see for you?
It's just the biggest, most fun gathering of people who are into the same stuff that I'm into that I can imagine. It's a convention by fans for fans, so you can do anything you want, and I get to see all the people that I never get to see otherwise. It's just like a big nerd party, and you know, that's, I just want to do that all the time. So,
yeah. Well said.
Thank you.
Well said. Darren, what about you?
Well, I've been going to Dragon Con since before Mary Lou was born, apparently. We established that last year.
No way! You're not that old.
Sweetie, you should see the painting in my attic, okay? So, I've been going since it was a little con. I didn't go the first couple of years, but I went after that, once the rest of the Atlanta cons kind of disappeared because Dragon Con kind of dominated the market. And I've been going mostly as an attendee. Sometimes I worked staff. A couple times I was asked to be moderating on a few panels in the Trek track, I guess. And that's basically it. Mostly now I go as this is kind of my hometown vacation time, really. I take a week off from work and I just have a lot of fun with my friends. You know, when I was a baby geek, I was always about, oh, I got to get to the panels. Like, I want to go to the panels. Well, it's kind of impossible to do at Dragon Con because there's just too many panels to go see. without cloning and time travel, you're not going to do it. So you have to kind of accept that you're going to do a couple things a day maybe and then just enjoy the time there with you know, your friends, your con family in a way. And
I think it's about the experience rather than
totally
about one single moment.
Exactly. It's about the whole weekend, which
is
Wednesday to Tuesday now. So, yeah.
I'm trying to convince all my friends to go down. It is. I'm trying to convince my friends to go down on Tuesday this year. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm trying.
Wow.
Or at least early in the day Wednesday. Last year we got there too late on Wednesday to do anything, and it was lame.
And Mike, what about you?
This will actually be my 10th Dragon Con this year.
Right.
And
a decade.
Yes. And it's also going to be William's 10th. And so it's pretty darn amazing that we've been doing that for so many years already. And Dragon Con is like no other place you've been. San Diego, of course, is huge and massive. And it's also Geek Central. But there's something about Dragon Con, it's more of a community than a real, you know, than a trade show, which Comic Con has become. And it's like we've said so many times last year, it's two different beasts. There's Dragon Con during the day, and then there's Dragon Con at night. And literally, you know, you don't mix the two. Families are fully welcome. Families are encouraged during the day. But after sunset, watch out. You want to have Junior's eyes on a blindfold.
Or he'll just go through puberty instantly in front of your eyes.
Exactly.
Your choice. I mean, if you want to get it all over one time, you know, do it. But
well, and it's true. And I've loved it. And I first went to Dragon Con as, you know, a fan. And I worked my way up to it. I started just for the first 2 years, took William to the parade. And then when he was, I think, 5, I took him in for the first time. And we've been going every year since. Mm-hmm. And it's just been incredible. And I'm proud to say this is my second year of going as an attending professional.
Woohoo!
So, very cool. Pretty cool.
Yes.
That's very cool.
Well, cool, guys. Let's get right into the news of what's happening with Dragon Con as we, you know, start 2013, because there's already a lot happening. The biggest news, I think, of course, is the fact that there's going to be a little bit of movement. There's going to be some movement of space that in 2013, the vendor halls will be moving from the Marriott Marquis and to the Atlanta Convention Center at its Marismart, building floors 1 and 2. So it's going to be 2 floors.
Wow.
That's going to allow the vendors that are in the Marquis that were just kind of crammed in there. And they were in, I think, 3 or 4 different rooms, right? In various places, upstairs, downstairs. Of course, in the basement of that sweaty basement.
In the Marriott,
which there was no, you know, there was, I think the aisles were only like a half a person wide. This is going to give them the ability to expand the vendor hall area by approximately 20%.
And that means new vendors.
Right. So we're going to have new vendors as well. So
that also means if you're used to coming to the con and you're used to going to a specific vendor, you're going to have to spend some time searching for your favorite vendors.
Yeah, the vendors aren't going to be in the same spots that you are used to. Yes, that's pretty exciting. That means that because I think one of the really cool things, even though we live in this day and age of internet and you're buying stuff on eBay all the time and finding great deals that way, I think Dragon Con was a really cool spot to always go to and see a lot of cool stuff in one place. It's kind of like having like a mall, like a shopping mall for geeks. Yeah.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. And there's things that you didn't even know that you were
existed.
Interested. Exactly. And you're like going, my God, I didn't know there were so many places for bustiers and such, you know, or the things that you can do with leather. It's amazing. Or swords or weapons or
certainly kilts.
Exactly. Utility kilts. I never knew those existed. It was really cool. So, yeah, there were some really great things to find. And, you know, I used to hate it. And this was my big downfall with Dragon Con was when we used to go going down to the basement of the Marriott. I hated going into that vendor area, especially on Saturday or Sunday. Mm. It was like, it was claustrophobic. People who were in costume, very hot. And if you were in any kind of costume, you would have sweated your head off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I'm not a person who is bothered by crowds or anything. I always just had to rush out of there because I just felt like I need to get away from these people type thing. And that's when you also realize, you know, who's wearing deodorant and not.
For those people who aren't really used to the – or not familiar with the area or whatever, America's Mart is not very far. It's only one block west of the Hyatt Regency. It actually can be accessed via a breezeway, you know, one of the hamster tunnels from the Westin. So you can get there without even, you know, breaking a sweat, so to speak.
But it's probably going to be easier to go outside. Let's just be honest about that right now.
Yes.
Right, true.
I mean, who's in the Westin? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
all the Whedon fans and all the...
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I do panels over there. I'm just kidding.
I just got an instant message from Dr. Q. He says, hey, wait a minute. The alternate history panel is over there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But there's a Starbucks, I think, in the bottom of the America's Mart. Near that entrance, or at least there used to be.
Yes.
So just aim for the coffee and keep going for your shopping.
Mm-hmm. Yes, something else you can stand in line for.
Exactly.
The and now, in addition, so now that the vendors are all moving to one central location, that frees up the space so that it's not going to be broken up now with the Walk of Fame area, where you can get pictures and signatures and swag from celebrities. So that's going to move to the Marriott. And a much bigger hall area so that it's going to be much more spacious and it'll all be together in one ballroom instead of, I think it's in three now.
Yes.
And they will have to shut it down due to capacity issues probably this year.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's pretty exciting stuff. Now, I don't know, you know, I imagine does that mean that the Hilton's just going to be taken over by the gamers? Because if you take out the Walk of Fame, then, you know, the Hilton has just a few other things going on for it,
yeah.
Right?
They have a lot of gaming over there, and they have a lot of the cosplay groups that do organized photo shoots back there. So there's still some stuff, and I'm sure they'll find something to fill those places up with. So.
Oh, yeah. And our friends over at the podcast panels are going to be over at the Hilton still.
Okay.
So there's, I think they're moving into a new room over there because of the extended space. So it should be interesting to see.
Very much so. And also new this year, they've got, I think they've restructured some of the tracks. My understanding is that there's a total of 38 different fan tracks that are going in there. So really, it's almost like 38 conventions all in one place. Because each one of those tracks is like, you could just stick with one of those tracks and have like a, you know, it's like you're at a Star Wars convention if you stick with the Star Wars track all weekend.
No, that totally makes sense. It's actually pretty darn cool, actually.
That'll be the J.J. Abrams track coming up this year.
I would not be surprised. Of course, that would be a merger of the Star Trek and the Star Wars track, right?
And the Disney track. God forbid. Did they have a Disney track yet? Come on, Dragon Con, get with that.
But my understanding is, now is it the horror track that's new? I think it's the horror track that's new. And they combined a couple of others. And I think they also have a paranormal, like, sort of teen romance track.
Yeah, the Twilight track.
Yeah, I think that's new as well. So, I don't know. I have to get some more information on that. But, and obviously, anything that we can't cover here, definitely check out the website, which has been redesigned, by the way.
A brand new website for 2013.
Yes.
Yeah, their website needed a redesign, and this one actually looks pretty sweet. So
yes, it looks sweet. I'm still, I guess I'm just because I'm used to the old one, I'm still having a little navigation issues. But that's because I was just so used to going click, 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 click,
mm-hmm.
because the old one was there for so long in the same exact format.
Well, the old one was very text heavy, and now they've switched it to be a little more visual, which is what really people like to see on a website now. So
yes. Yes, a lot more pictures.
Very graphically pleasing.
Yes. You might be on that website now, folks, and not know it.
It's true. Absolutely true. The guest list has already started. I think the big names that they've got this year, certainly from The Walking Dead, Laurie Holden is going to be there. Also from the Fantastic Four movies, and I might mispronounce his first name. Is it Iowan Grafud?
Oh, Mr. Fantastic.
Yes.
Mr. Fantastic, yes. I like to think of him as more of Horatio Hornblower because I really liked him mm-hmm. in that series of movies.
But, and from 102 Dalmatians.
Yes, that's right.
Really? Hmm.
There's a couple folks there from Fringe as well. John Noble will be there, as well as, is it Jacilla? Nicole?
I think so.
She plays Astrid Farnsworth on that show.
Mm. And I know they're going to have a few Farscape people.
Yes, Anthony Simcoe and Gigi Edgley will be in attendance, as well as some very popular artists, authors, Timothy Zahn and Kevin J. Anderson. And also one comic-related guest announced so far, which is George Perez. And
yay, Mr. Perez!
As we mentioned a couple weeks ago on ESO, that's reason to go in and of itself.
Yes. Indeed.
Very few comic geniuses out there. Like George. So those are some of the bigger names, but a lot of ESO people have already gotten their badges already, and they're already on the website. ESO White Rocket podcaster Van Allen Plexico will be there, as well as both Scott and Debbie Vigay, and they both got shows on the ESO network.
Yes, they do.
And they're all listed as guests. Mike Faber is listening, as you said, you're an attending pro. Congratulations. Exactly. ESO's Bobby Nash is also an attending pro. And I believe Anthony Taylor is as well.
Yes.
And a friend of the station, Ken Spivey, is also listed as an attending pro.
Excellent.
So a lot of familiar names already to those people who follow ESO and ESO network of shows.
That's always a great thing. And Mike, for those newbies who are listening to the show for the first time, do you want to tell them the layout of the land for Dragon Con? Because they might be used to going someplace like San Diego or something, which is one big convention center.
Well, of course, one of the main differences of and attractions of Dragon Con from most other conventions and the largest conventions that happen in this country, like San Diego or New York Comic Con or Chicago or C2E2 in Chicago, is that it all takes place in hotels. It doesn't take place in a convention center. Yes, Atlanta does have convention centers, but Dragon Con is started in a hotel and will remain in a hotel. There's actually, is it still five? Has it grown?
No, it's still the five.
Five main host hotels, which is the Hyatt, the Hilton, the newly bought Marriott Marquis, and the Sheraton and the Westin, and all around downtown Atlanta, around off of Peachtree Street.
It's all around a section they like to call Peachtree Center.
Yes.
And it's all accessible. All the hotels are now accessible, which what we like to call the Habit Trail.
Yes.
Which is a bunch of skywalks, so you don't have to go on the street.
Well, also more importantly, there's also other hotels in the area as well. So if you're looking for a place to stay, my understanding is most of the host hotels are booked already. There's still some surrounding hotels that are available, and it's accessible to MARTA really easily by MARTA as well.
Yes. It's actually, there's the Peachtree Center station is right there. And hopefully the escalator will actually be working this year, not like last year.
One report that came out a few weeks ago, newsworthy, is that one of the hotels was recently purchased, sold to an individual, and actually but it's still a Marriott. I'm not sure if it's going to go through any name changes, but it is still a Marriott hotel. And as far as I know, it doesn't affect DragonCon at all.
No, the only thing that changed is the ownership. It's still part of the Marriott chain. And they already put out a notice that anyone who has reservations for DragonCon, they're not changing anything. It's still the Marriott system, and they're being honored. Same prices. If you made a reservation and you were lucky enough to get into the system and get,
that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later. But if you got if you were lucky enough to get a Marriott reservation, your reservation is still good, and it's still going to be asking for the rest of the deposit, I think, 6 weeks before the show or something like that?
Something like that. I mean, it's,
so it's going to be, it's going to be fun, and, just enjoy. For those who are new to the shows, don't even think about getting a room at the host hotel. You maybe could find a roommate, somebody who already has a reservation. There's groups up on Facebook and stuff that you can find people to share rooms with and such. But to get an actual reservation for a room at one of the host hotels is pretty much slim and none right now.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of hotel rooms, though, available around the area. And there's a good 12 hotels within walking distance of the con.
Yeah.
And when most of them are sold out already, Mike.
Are they? Wow.
Yeah. A lot of them are, yeah.
There's just too much stuff going on Labor Day weekend in Atlanta for a lot of hotel space to be just staying open. So
everybody needs to get out. Only DragonCon.
If you're interested in coming, definitely not be swayed by the fact that you can't get a hotel or not. But I would recommend getting your membership as soon as possible. It didn't used to be the case. I wouldn't recommend that. But these days I do recommend it, because now the registration is a much smoother process. And it seems like they've got their act together. From everything that I've heard, people are arriving even on Saturday morning with pre-reg and actually getting through pretty quickly. Get your tickets now, because they just get more and more expensive. Currently, if you want a ticket for the whole weekend, it's $85. And that ends on the 15th of February. After that, they go up to $100. And that's until May. After May, they're $115. And that's up till July. And then July through till the end, it's $130 for the weekend. So you can get your tickets for pretty much almost 50% off right now if you get them now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, they do sell, if you don't want to go all 4 days, you can get smaller packages too.
I think they have a Saturday only that they sell in advance now, but that's it. You either get the 4 day or the Saturday only, and that's it.
Because I think the weekend of, you can get also a 3 day and a 2 day.
Yes, you have different options there, but they are starting, because of the huge demand that they're growing. They are talking about capping attendance. So they're not sure. They don't think it's going to happen this year, but they have on the official site said that, we are thinking about it. So if need be, if ticket sales are really through the roof, then, the odds of showing up that day and going are going to be slim.
Yeah.
Plus, you have to, as cool as it is, sometimes it doesn't work out that you can't, you have to go last minute. But in this case, if you're thinking about just only going Saturday and you think you're just going to walk up, that's going to take you a good chunk of the day just to get your ticket. So you're going to miss some programming probably if you do that too. So whenever possible, get your tickets in advance.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, a lot of folks who go to the con year after year, they buy their tickets at the con itself because they sell them, I think for all 4 days, it's only like $60 in advance.
Yeah, they have a really good deal for those people who get their tickets a year in advance, yeah.
So, you know, and that's something to say for the con.
And of course, you can get your Eternal membership as well. So. It's kind of pricey, but if you really think you're going to be there for the next 30 years, you know, if I had done that quite some time ago, you know, I wouldn't have to worry. But speaking of also, if you are interested in volunteering or participating, or, you know, you're interested in, you know, being a attending pro or a guest, get your applications in now. They're still open to submissions. So don't wait. Get your applications in now, because the sooner you do so, the better, because it's just going to fill up.
Exactly.
And the spots are just going to fill up.
They also will, a lot of the panels and a lot of the treks are looking for panelists. If not yet, they will be putting out announcements within the next month that they're looking for people.
Yeah, the this convention, the number of volunteers that support Dragon Con is about 1,700.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So if there's something that you would like to do and participate and help out with, feel free to contact them about that, because they do need people, good people, to be involved. And you don't usually have to spend all your time, you know, shuttling people back and forth from the airport. You know, they actually have a pretty good system where, you know, you work for a bit and then you get to enjoy the show.
Exactly.
So and like Mike said, with over 38 tracks and other events, there's 110 directors, and they're all looking for help.
Exactly, and we're going to try to get all of them on the show here.
Well, maybe the 38 fan tracks. We will try to have a representative for each one of those, but I'm not sure about the 110 directors.
Ah, phew, thank goodness.
But the beauty of it, too, is that you can, of course, use Dragon Con, to the site, to reach out to those folks as well. And they all have their – every fan track has contact information from the, you know, if it's the anime track or the digital gaming track or fantasy literature, whatever you're into, you can go to the website, the Dragon Con website, and reach out to them that way. But what's really great in this day and age of social media, almost all of them now has Facebook group pages, and they all have Twitter accounts so that you can reach out directly to them. If nothing else, if there's something specific or someone specific that you would like to see at Dragon Con, now's the time to get their attention and ask for that.
Exactly. Also, if you are, you know, selected to be a panelist on one of these tracks, that also does not guarantee you admission to the con, though.
That's correct.
If, you know, if you want to become a panelist, you still have to pay to get in and such. So, you know, take that into consideration also. Not thinking, oh, I'm going to become a panelist and I could work an hour and then get free admission to Dragon Con. Doesn't work that way, Chucky. Sorry.
But it is possible to, no matter whether you're a guest or an attending pro or an attendee, or you're involved with a track or not, it is impossible to take, it is possible to take part in a track or a panel.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. No matter what your status is. That's the good thing. You don't have to be a guest in order to be a panelist.
No, they want fan involvement. And that's what we mentioned earlier. That's what makes it different from a lot of other cons.
Exactly.
It's so much fan involvement. It's amazing.
Yeah. And
everyone is approachable. A lot of the guests, maybe not Neil Adams, but most of the other guests are very approachable.
Wow.
Well, as of right now, Neil Adams is not scheduled to appear at Dragon Con, so there is that. But I think all of us here have been on panels, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So, yeah. And can't we say that being on a panel at Dragon Con is, like, you know, something you could just knock off the bucket list as a coolest thing?
Yeah, it's one of the coolest things, yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's fun. I'd rather be partying. No, really though, it's fun.
I remember, like, sitting at the Doctor Who panel, and sitting in the audience and saying, this is really cool. And I told Judy, I want to be up there someday. And within 2 years, I was basically myself and one other person was doing the Doctor Who panel in front of almost 200 people. And it was just, it was amazing.
I guess I wasn't as motivated because it took me like 15. It took me over 15 years before I got to be on my first panel at DragonCon.
Oh.
But it made it even more special, damn it.
That's very true.
Yeah.
So are there, do you guys know of any track news, specific track news that you'd like to bring to anybody's attention right now?
Not as of yet.
Yeah.
It's still early, and you know,
a lot of those tracks are still getting their directors in place and trying to figure out exactly what they're doing. Yeah, sure. So,
well, didn't they announce towards the end of last year's show that the Pern track and the Wheel of Time track are no longer their own tracks, and they're now folded into other tracks?
Yes, they're now a fantasy literature track, yep, or something like that.
Okay,
that's exactly right.
So that's a change. So. But beyond that, I know of no big changes. I'm assuming puppets will be back. They were very popular, so.
Yes, puppetry is still a track there. And I believe the podcasting track got a new director.
Yes, gentleman who was on the show last year.
Ah.
Yes.
Brian Dunaway.
Exactly. Congratulations, Brian.
So see, coming on our show helps.
Oh, gosh. Well, one thing we do need to touch on, and it's kind of the elephant in the room that we've been dancing around a little bit, and we're going to just touch on it real briefly. I don't want it to haunt us. I don't want it to, you know, be brought up anytime after this. It's the Ed Kramer issue, and I have a lot of strong feelings on it. I've been all over Facebook, in the DragonCon pages, on the ESO pages, talking to multiple friends about it. And I just think he has no place to be with DragonCon. Basically, any kind of ties have been over since 2000. DragonCon has tried to separate themselves many times from him. And he has sued them multiple times to keep a hold of it. And basically he is using the legal system to its fullest in his favor. And it's not right. And don't really want to go into it. It's all over the web. And I basically, you know, you can find it so many different places across any local newspaper in the Atlanta area, any magazine has been talking about it. Even comic-based websites have been talking about it and his ties with DragonCon. And for those who are saying boycott DragonCon because of his involvement with it, he is not involved with it, folks. He, you know, he's part of the past, and he owns a certain percentage of DragonCon still. And basically he, you know, if you want to boycott everything that has somebody who has a history or is had a criminal record or something, or had issues with children or whatever, you would not be buying anything, folks. You wouldn't be going to church. You wouldn't be going to sporting events. You wouldn't be going to the Super Bowl this weekend. You know, you have that kind of issues, and just let it be. DragonCon is about fun. You choose what you do there. You choose what you get involved with. Enjoy yourself. And if you don't agree with it, don't go. That's my word on it. And I don't really want to talk about it after this.
Yes. Well, hopefully we won't have to. I think our position doing this podcast and actually attending the event is that it is possible to separate DragonCon from Kramer as far as we can, and yes, no matter what our feelings are about Kramer, we all love DragonCon.
Exactly.
And that's what we're here to celebrate and talk about.
Exactly. I just think it needed to be said.
Well, unfortunately, it is in the news. So you're right. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens legally as the battle continues this year.
Exactly.
But that's not what we're here to talk about. We are here to talk about the convention itself. And now we do want participation from you listeners. So if there's anything that you want to know, if any questions that you have about Dragon Con, we would love to tackle them as long as they're not, you know, Kramer related. But any questions you have about the convention, about the tracks, about where to stay, where the best place to park, good places to eat, how to, you know, what the best thing to do is in terms of what the best parties are. So we definitely want to hear your questions, and we will try to take in as many of them as we can. And if we can, even have you on the show so we can go over the answers. But we will do our best. We have a lot of contacts at Dragon Con, so we will get the answers that you want.
Exactly. And, you know, that's part of the involvement. And, you know, we want your feedback. We want to hear about your memories of Dragon Con.
Such as they are.
Exactly.
The ones that we can air.
Exactly. Well, you know, I think we might take a little bit of exception with the Dragon Con podcast. We try to keep most of our podcasts PG-13. If some of it goes a little bit over, you know, so be it. This is Dragon Con, and it is what it's about. And I want to hear people's memories. I want to hear their views on going to Dragon Con, their hints. What's the best way to get around Dragon Con? What's the best tips? You know, we've gave a ton of tips last year, and we'll be diving back into that in our next couple shows. And it's going to be fun to, you know, talk about this and hearing from you and saying, hey, thanks for this, what you guys did last year, but you forgot to talk about this, this, or this. Because we want to hear that. That's why we want to hear from it. So you can write us at esopodcast@gmail.com, or you could, if you want to even leave a voicemail, we'll play your message on the air at 404-963-9057. We'd love to hear from you. We really would. God, I sounded like NPR on that part.
And welcome to Delicious Dish on NPR.
Darren, you sent a couple of interesting articles our way. Did you want to talk about anything specifically?
I just delved quickly to Google today and found these two on Creative Loafing. One is about just the story of someone going to Dragon Con very briefly, hits very, very big highlights. I found more amusing the expose on the missing connections ads after Dragon Con, which are just very humorous to read. These are the ads on Craigslist that are like, we met at the dance and you were wearing a Slave Leia costume. Call me.
oh, God. You know,
things like that. So I got a good chuckle today reading that kind of stuff. It was very funny for me. But
whatever. Yeah. I know a lot of people who say stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you get a lot of misconnections at Dragon Con. Think about all the people that you don't know their name or you're not their friend on Facebook, but they were awesome. There's a lot.
Exactly. It's true.
Not that I would post anything like that on the internet.
we called those 20-minute panels. Yeah, Mary knows what I'm talking about. Listen to that laugh. Yeah.
Sorry.
She knows what I'm talking about.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. You know, if you're with some people, make the effort to like exchange real information, especially now with Facebook, for crying out loud. You know, get someone's name, get a phone number, just ask. That was the one thing that I tried to stress last year, is it is such a grand gathering of geeks. This is not the time for you to be in your shell and on the wall like you might be at a normal social function, because no one can really relate to your brand of weirdness. But at Dragon Con, your brand of weirdness is out and on display everywhere.
And you might find that your brand of weirdness is nothing compared
is not
to
that
some,
weird, actually.
Some other brands.
So this is the one event per year, really, where it's a social convention as well as a let's go see a panel and let's go see these these TV or movie people, you can actually sit, meet people, and enjoy your time. You can do that at other conventions, but this is the widest net possible that you can cast for that kind of an opportunity. So,
exactly. And, you know, this is the time for you to come out and enjoy yourself. No matter what your kind of geekiness you're into, you're going to find it there. Somewhere, in, it could be in a corner of one room, but you're going to find your geekiness there. And it's like how we say on ESO, it's time to bring your inner geek out to play. That's what Dragon Con is all about.
Pretty much.
So it's actually really cool.
Definitely. Well, like here we are in January. So do you guys have thoughts, specific thoughts of what anybody who's interested in going to Dragon Con right now, what they need to be doing right now? Mary, we'll start.
Buy your ticket.
Yeah, get a ticket if you don't have one. Get a hotel room if you don't have one. Listen to our show and make some costumes if you're into that sort of thing.
Now, do you already have all your costume, at least ideas in your head already this early?
I have a few. Usually I'm much more prepared than I am thus far this year. Hopefully in the next couple of weeks, things will sort of, I don't know, get together. But I'm definitely doing Judge Anderson from Dread.
Awesome.
So that's definitely happening. Because I just ordered some ridiculously expensive screen accurate gloves yesterday. So I'm committed now. But other than that, yeah, I don't know. I really want to do Spaceballs. I really want to be Princess Vespa. So I'm trying.
You should totally do that.
I know, right? It would be so much fun. So I'm trying to convince one of my friends to be Lone Star with me.
You need to be the long-haired Vespa with the gun.
Yes, I want to have the gun and the ripped up dress.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you need to be.
Yeah, it would be fun. So other than that, I don't really have anything. I really want to finish my Sleeping Beauty costume, but that's such an endeavor. So hopefully that, but I don't know yet. Don't be like me. Get your stuff together ahead of time.
That's why she doesn't sleep for 2 weeks before the con.
Pretty much, folks.
Got to get this costume.
2 weeks,
gotta
like
get this
a
costume.
Month and a half.
Time stretches.
Wibbly it seems like a month and a half, at least.
any words of wisdom this early from you, Darren?
Words of wisdom.
To prepare.
Get your ticket. Get a hotel room if you don't have one. Find some friends to go with you if you don't have any friends to go with you. Make an effort to get on the boards and find some people who kind of match up with your particular geek. Get on Facebook. Because cons are always better in a group than solo. Even if you just meet up in the morning and have breakfast and then meet like later in the day and you go your separate ways during the day, that's completely fine. But it's always nice to have someone to share those memories with.
Yeah.
That way you get kind of double the con experience, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond that, right now, if you're going to costume, I just ordered a costume. It got here. It fit in a 12 by 12 by 6 inch box. I have a lot of cardio to do before I put this on. So if you're going to get into costume and it's going to be a little revealing, you might want to consider some gym time, might want to consider some diet regimen, maybe a personal trainer. That's what I'm going to be doing. Because it's going to be scary. Now's the time. Not like, oh, you know what? I'm going to go on that fruit fast diet for a month before Dragon Con and then suddenly drink myself silly. No, no. You'll be passed out on the floor of the Marriott Ballroom on Thursday night. No, that's not pretty. So you need to kind of do
that
this.
Isn't that where we found Phantom last year?
I know, right?
Yeah.
With a little sign on him. It said free hugs. There's time now to kind of get that stuff together, especially when we've all overindulged during the holidays. And here comes the chocolate holiday coming up. Just kind of pay attention to that. If you're going to wear spandex, I've always firmly believe spandex is a privilege, not a right. Make sure that you do a costume that fits your body type. Don't go as a pixie unless you're making a joke out of yourself as being like the largest pixie on the planet.
I wouldn't even say that, man. I'm just what? Not. I think dress for your body, but I think anyone of any size can do almost any costume as long as they have the right undergarments and the right. They would make the costume to
exactly.
Fit them.
It's how it's all put together.
Yeah. You know, I don't want everyone to encourage anyone not to do a costume because of the way that they look. Because you do costume for you. If you want to do something that has everything hanging out, like, do it. But do it to the best of your ability.
Exactly. And do it so that you look good about yourself and you feel good about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody
you know
wants
how
to wear
you,
a costume.
You put on
don't
something and you're like, eh, that doesn't really make me feel great. Then do yourself a favor. Tweak it.
Yes.
Don't put on a costume Sunday morning and go down to the Marriott and go, oh, I really don't look that great, you know, because that might give you a bad experience. So if you're going to do something crazy and outlandish like I've been roped into doing, plan ahead because I'm sure it's going to be all over the internet after Labor Day.
Oh, so. Make sure.
Yep.
Of course you will.
I know. I can't wait, really.
And good point about reaching out to folks. This is the time to start reaching out to folks. I mean, whether you have friends or not, you can make new ones and meet new ones or meet them up at Dragon Con or get involved in the tracks. If you go to Facebook and you put in Dragon Con or you go to Twitter and put in hashtag Dragon Con, you're going to see a lot of stuff already.
Mm-hmm.
So people are already and not just about the, you know, the bad stuff that's going on right now, but still people are already preparing and getting tracks ready, and track directors are looking for ideas. They're looking for people right now.
True that.
So that's a very, very good point. Mike, any words of wisdom from you?
Wow. You guys pretty much hit it all. You know, words of wisdom is have fun. Go, you know, it is, you know, 6 months away, 7 months away, and
it'll be here before you know it.
Exactly. It will be here before you know it. Plan for it already, folks. Start, you know, mapping out, you know, the different hotels. If you've never been before and you live local to Atlanta, go down to the hotels, walk it, you know, see where the different hotels are and check out, you know, different. Because, you know, a lot of people are surprised when they find out the Westin and the Sheraton are not connected to the other hotels. And, you know, a lot of people also, you know, find out where the food places are. Find out where the, you know, CVS is if you need emergency supplies. Mm-hmm. Find out where, you know, the MARTA station is. Find out, you know, all these different, you know, areas. And if you're not local, all these places have websites. Check them out, you know. Do that or do look at Google Maps. You could do a virtual walk of the area, literally street views.
It's very disturbing to walk through the Marriott without seeing Klingons, though.
Oh, it is. You know, I used to work down at the state and it was right across the street from the Sheraton. And part of my exercise regimen was walking, doing laps in the Marriott, the Hyatt, and the Hilton. And, you know, it was like a ghost town to me. You know, you feel Dragon Con there, but it's not there. It's actually really surreal in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. It's like the ghosts are there.
Exactly. And, you know, also, folks, we've said it so many times till we were blue in the face last year. Make sure you stock up when you go for Dragon Con. You're going to need to bring echinacea, bring, you know, emergency, bring, you know, airborne, you know, stock up on hand sanitizer. You know, no matter what you could prepare for, it's still not going to be enough. I prepared left and right for it, you know, myself and William. And William still got con crud on Sunday. And we had to leave early on Monday because he had a fever
mm-hmm.
from it and everything. So
con crud.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it is out there. You're there with, you know, 50,000 of your friends and neighbors. And, you know, they're coughing, they're wheezing, and, you know, who else knows what they're doing. So, you know, You know, just stay away from the railings.
Don't ask Darren.
Exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So it's, you know, it's part of the fun. You know, enjoy yourself, but be prepared and take precautions. That's all I need to say. You know, one of my fondest memories of last year was when we were getting ready to set up to do the live ESO recording. And we were standing outside of one of the rooms. And this lovely young lady came out of one of the panel rooms and just bent over a bucket or one of the big garbage cans and projectile vomited into it.
Pretty much. Yep. Yeah.
You were standing right next to me, actually. And we were just like, I think we're going to move to a new location.
Yeah. I think we need to go.
Yeah, exactly.
There's some things going on here.
It was just like, yeah. But it was, you know, it was a great experience. You know, can't wait to start talking about buckets of rum. I can't wait to talk about, you know, all the cool things to do there. You know, there's always something to do. If you're not into going to the panels, go. It's a great people watching place. It's also great to go to the drum circles where the music is incredible they have there. And, you know, it's just not, you know, just people speaking. There's wrestling, there's puppet shows, there's burlesque shows. You know, you could see it all, literally, and you will.
And in some cases, you can't unsee what you've seen.
So. Oh, no, I have things burnt into the back of my brain now. Thanks. But it's been amazing. And, you know, William got an education the last couple of years. So.
Well, how old is William?
He's Michael? 13 now.
He's 13 now. So he's at that change time.
Yes.
So, you know, every parent's going to make their own decision about that. But I would say if you have young ones with you that aren't near that, I would say around 6 o'clock is probably a good time. You know, everyone starts to get a little hungry. It's probably time to leave the con then.
Exactly. Go to a nice dinner and then head home for the evening.
Cause they're probably going to be tired anyway at that point. Cranky kids are not fun at a con.
Oh, especially if you go on Saturday morning for the parade. Cause the parade is a huge draw. Last year for the parade, they had almost 100,000 people watching the parade.
Mm-hmm.
And it was truly amazing. And, you know, knock on wood, I think every year I've gone, they've had great weather for the parade.
Yeah, wasn't it supposed to be a hurricane last year?
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. So let's be thankful and hope it doesn't happen.
Dragon Con's magical.
Exactly.
Indeed. Geeks do control the weather. Yay.
With their weather ray.
Mm-hmm. Their weather rays and tinfoil hats. Yay.
Oh, you see that there. Don't worry. You will see that.
Well, I did want to let everybody know that in preparation, it's important to make sure that you guys are aware of the dates that are coming up and that have already passed like I said, the guest registration, membership, submissions, all that is still open right now. They just opened applications for vendors. I know that February 1st is is when media access and fan table applications open online. So by the time you hear this, if you're interested in application for that, you should be able to have no problem accessing that application. February 15th is the final day of the $85 membership rate. So if you are thinking about going and want to go as cheaply as possible for your membership, because yes, even if you want to go and people watch, as Mike said, you still have to pay now because you can't just get in the hotels and watch folks now. They're putting a kibosh on that over the last couple of years. Also, February 15th is when the parade registration opens up online. And if for those people who don't know, every year at Dragon Con, they have one of the biggest and best geeky parades you've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. That's how we introduced William to Dragon Con, actually, was by the parade. I didn't tell him what kind of parade we were going to, and I told the story last year, but you're going to hear it again now. And he was 3.5, 4 years old, and he was like into like the Star Wars figures and that type of stuff, and he had watched the original series of Star Wars movies, and at the time we were driving up, I think it was Andrew Young Boulevard, trying to find parking. And all of a sudden he saw stormtroopers walking up the street, and he turned to me and said, "Dad, what kind of parade is this?" And the rest is history. And it is amazing. It's free. You can come to the Dragon Con parade at 10 a.m. Saturday morning of the con, and it lasts a good hour and a half, and it's well worth it. Try to get there early, though, because it is hugely crowded. Like I said, 100,000 people all along the parade route. It's pretty darn amazing, and you know, people start lining up, I think, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. So it's worth it to go see.
Definitely, definitely. And if you want to participate, because it's huge, it's got, I can't remember what they cap it at, but it's in the thousands of people who can actually participate. But as long as you've got a costume, you can participate in the parade. So, but if you want
to
do,
you have to sign up ahead of time. There's a Yahoo group.
Yes, that's one of the big changes that they did last year, was that it used to be you could register up till Friday at the con itself, but now you have to do it a few days before online.
Yeah. Parade registration, like I said, opens February 15th. It closes August 1st. So you have until August 1st to register for the parade. There is a volunteer meeting on March 23rd. So if you're interested in volunteering and you are around the local metro area of Atlanta and you want to attend that, you can see the website for more details. And March 31st, if you are interested in performing at the event, the performer applications close on March 31st.
That's early.
Yes, that's one of the earliest application closes I think there is. So if you're interested in performing at some point, at somewhere there, definitely get on that and apply as soon as possible.
And performing in private rooms, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's
there are applications for that, and you can see me on Facebook for those.
And now I need to introduce you to a new member of our ESO Dragon Con Report team. Columnist Nikki Raul Baker is joining us as a contributor. Welcome, Nikki.
Thank you.
Now we had you on. We had you on as one of our Dragon Con reports from last year, and I take it you survived 2012 Dragon Con, okay?
I did, although sadly I got sick the very first day this year. Usually I can wait until after the con is over, but no, this year I got sick first day. It was pretty brutal.
Yes. Well, as I saw last year that Dragon Con can be pretty brutal as well. So I understand. So, well, cool. We're glad to have you with us. Why don't you tell people what your relationship is with Dragon Con over the years?
Well, I started out as just a fan, new to the Atlanta area, and wanted to meet other geeks. And I'm not exactly sure how I stumbled upon Dragon Con, but I started going 8 years ago, shortly after I moved to Atlanta. And I've never been a full-time staffer, but I have been pulled in quite often to help out, just without the benefits of having the free badge. I have a lot of friends that work with the Tolkien track and with the Star Trek track. I don't know what they call it now. I know that they can't call it Trek Track. Or they do, but they've put a C in it instead of just T-R-A-K.
On the website, it's just listed as Star Trek Track. So
Okay. So I have some friends that do work on that as well. Like I said, mainly just going as a fan and been pulled in to do some assistance on different panels. And then also working with CNN.com, I've been able to cover it both as a photographer and a writer.
Very awesome. Very awesome. I'm sure that some of the stuff that you could, there's some things you can photograph and some things you can't.
Well, I will photograph everything, whether or not they make it to the website is another story.
Well put. Well put. And so now you're joining us this year. We're going to have a monthly report from you as well. Can you give us a glimpse or a preview of what you'll be focusing on?
Yeah, so I have a funny little catchphrase, and I even made a little logo that I sent to Mike. And I'm calling this Keep Calm and Go to Cons. Kind of a little riff on the whole keep calm and carry on thing that people are doing. Right. So what I'm going to be talking about is a lot of different things, like what size conventions should you go to when you first start? How do you get into costuming? How do you decide what panels you want to go to? What is good con etiquette? What is bad con etiquette? I'm going to try to cover pretty much everything from people that are new to going to conventions to people that have been going to conventions for years and years and years, but maybe may not think of particular things that come up day to day at cons.
Awesome. Awesome. Can you think of anything offhand, like right today, as we look at in January going into Dragon Con, that people should be doing in preparation if they're interested in going to Dragon Con?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, there's some things that you should have been doing last year if you were interested in going to Dragon Con. So some of the things that you should have been thinking about probably last year is, where are you going to stay? The main host hotels sell out fairly quickly. For Dragon Con, they usually go up in October. And I know that I was able to get 2 rooms this year, but I know people that weren't able to get any. And we had myself and my husband and 2 of our friends online and on the phone trying to get rooms. So if you can't get a room in the host hotel, check the overflow hotels. And even if you can't get a room in the overflow hotels, there are lots of hotels in the downtown Atlanta area that still have rooms available. So if you can't do that, one of the other options that you have is people are actually offering rooms for rent in condos and in private homes. I know some people will go onto LiveJournal, and there is a LiveJournal forum called Dragon Con Rooms. And you can put your name on there, on that list, and tell people how many days you want the room for, and if you want a single, a double, a queen, a king, a suite, all that kind of stuff. And if you even want to do room trades, like say that you've gotten a hotel for Thursday through Tuesday, and you say, well, I can't make it into town on Thursday. I can only be there Saturday through Monday. So what you can do is you can say, I have a room in the Marriott for Thursday through Tuesday, and I'm willing to trade it for a room in the Marriott for Friday through Monday. So that's really good resource to go to. Again, that's on LiveJournal, and it's Dragon Con Rooms. If you just go to LiveJournal and type that in, you should be able to find the forum fairly quickly.
Awesome.
Another thing that you want to consider is parking. Public transportation in Atlanta can be good if you're in the downtown area. If you're in outlying areas, it's not as great. Like if you live out where I do, north of town, I have to drive in. But because I am staying at a hotel, I just am going to park my car there at the hotel and leave it there for the duration. If you're driving in every day, some of the lots that are close by can run $25 to $30 a day. But if you're willing to walk a few blocks, you can get it as cheap as $10. Just do some research the day that you're going to go down. Drive around and check to see if you're willing to walk a little ways, can you get a better deal on parking? But just be really careful. Don't park in somebody's alley, you know, and give some stranger $10. He's like, sure, I'll look after your car. You may end up coming back and your car is not there anymore.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
You have to be careful for the illegitimate lots.
Yeah, I had something similar happen to me in Nashville. I came out and my car wasn't there, and I had to pay $60 to get my car out, and I was attending a free event. So it was my $60 free event. So, yeah, just keep an eye on the lots that you're going to.
Well, very cool. Those are 2 very good things to prepare for. So,
mm-hmm.
And we've talked about some other ones as well. And yeah, we're not near as finished. So, you know, we definitely look forward to talking more about specifically Dragon Con as well as, some other things that are happening through the course of the year. But, we definitely want to hear from everybody who's listening to this. We are taking, like I said, Q&A requests. So be interactive. We want to know, what you want to know. We want to know what you want to know about Dragon Con. We want to know if you're going to be at Dragon Con because we want to see you. That would be the cool thing. So if you are planning to come to Dragon Con, definitely check our show out and let us know, you know, how we're doing and if we're answering your questions or if there's anything that we need to address. So we are definitely looking forward to that. And you can definitely reach us via the ESO website, which is our email address is esopodcast@gmail.com. We also have a local phone line that you can call in if you have questions or if you want to do make a recording that will air on the show. And that number is 404-963-9057. You can also reach a lot of us individually. I know you can reach me on Facebook. I'm available also on Twitter. New Legend Mike is my handle as well. And I have a blog that you can check out at newlegendmike.com. Mike, of course, you can be reached at the ESO site, correct?
Correct. You can find me on Twitter at, I think it's ESO Podcast. And then you could also find me up on Facebook, of course, as Mike Faber. And, of course, on my email, which is the esopodcast@gmail.com.
Awesome. And, Mary, where can people reach you if they so desire?
You can find me on Twitter as Mary Lou Who Blog or on Facebook.com/Mary Lou Who Blog. Should be pretty easy to remember. Also, MaryLouWho.com is my website. So, yeah, that's about it.
And, Darren, where can people reach you?
Facebook seems to be the best place to get a hold of me. Directly to me is Darren Noel. Last name is N-O-W-E-L-L, like Christmas, but spelled wrong. And my podcast is LegionOfSubstitutePodcasters.com. So we're on there as our own little podcast page. So find us there.
And Nikki?
You can reach me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @Nikki71. And I can also be reached at my website, which is www.darthcooper.com.
Ooh, sounds foreboding.
Oh, it is. It's evil.
Was there anything that, Nikki, you had before we closed out our first show of the year?
Just a few things to note about upcoming conventions, if we have a little bit of time. I just wanted to hit a few that I think are really fun cons and that are coming up before Dragon Con, if we have time for that.
No, sure.
So one of the ones that I like to go to is called Play On Con, and it's a small convention that was started 5 years ago by actually some of my friends that are really into gaming and anything from board games to video games to Xbox, any kind of gaming you can imagine, card games, you can find it at Play On Con. And you can find them at playoncon.com. And this year, the convention is from July 18th to the 21st, and tickets are $40. And then another convention that I like to go to that you guys are familiar with is TimeGeek. It's the Doctor Who and Stargate convention, and that one is May 24th through the 26th. And I've been going to that one only for 3 years, but it is so much fun. It's a smaller convention, but it's got some really amazing things going on this year with the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. So definitely check them out at timegate.com.
Awesome. That's very cool. I know that's one of our favorite shows as well. So thank you so much for joining us in this first episode.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Mary, what's your next show?
My next show will most likely be Connuga. It's a convention in Chattanooga, pretty small, low-key. I've actually never been to it before, but it gets a lot of good reviews from friends. So probably that, and if not that, then MomoCon in Atlanta.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us as well.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And Darren, what about you? What's your next convention experience?
Next convention for me is probably MegaCon in Orlando. That's cool. In March, I think. And then I will be up at Super Show in Pennsylvania first weekend of April. And then Galaxicon first weekend of May. Somewhere in there, Easter weekend, I'm supposed to be at Frolicon. And then Dragon. So lots of cons going on in springtime for me.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us for this show.
Anytime, sir.
Good to have you, man. And Mike, what about the ESO shows?
The ESO shows. ESO, including myself, will be appearing this Sunday at the Atlanta Comic Con. And that is at the Marriott in North Atlanta.
Yes.
And it should be actually pretty fun. Myself, Mike Gordon will be there. And Bobby Nash also. And the Phantom Troublemaker will be appearing.
So, wow, so it's an ESO-ESW
crossover. Exactly. So it should be actually kind of fun. And we're going to be, if anyone's interested, you know, wants to sit in the geek seat, we'll be having people sit in with us. Or we'll be actually asking people ideas, like, of upcoming shows, their thoughts on it and such. So it would be actually kind of fun. So you might even be able to get on the podcast at the show. Right. Then I will be appearing at Canuga in Chattanooga.
Bobby and I will be there as well.
Exactly. And it's going to be my first time going to that convention also. So it should be actually kind of cool. Still need to find a hotel room, but that's a whole different story. After that, I think I am done with cons until Timegate. The end of May at Memorial Day weekend. And this could be the third appearance of us as ESO at the con. And it should be great. And it's the first time I'll be meeting a doctor there. We'll be meeting with Colin Baker. So it should be actually very cool. And we'll also have our series review of Doctor Who. And I think after that, there's like a 1% chance I might be at San Diego, but probably the next show will be Dragon Con.
Wow. Wow. Well, I will be at most of those shows as well. Yes. And to add to those, looks like April 20th and 21st, I will be attending the Boston Comic Con, which I've been to for the last couple of years. And that is an awesome comic show. So people can come out and see me there. Also, unfortunately, I won't be able to make it to Timegate because I'm already committed to the Alabama Phoenix Festival in Birmingham, Alabama. So Bobby Nash and I will be at that show. So the ESO crew will be a little split up. But that's okay. We can cover more ground that way. And then I do plan on going to Heroes Con in June. I will definitely be at San Diego Comic Con in July. I have a table there. And then Dragon Con. So, yeah, some big shows happening for me as well. So that's going to be another cool year of conventions. But it all leads up to Dragon Con, right?
Oh, all roads lead to Dragon Con.
All roads.
All roads. And thanks again, Mike, for your help with this. I appreciate it.
As always, it's my pleasure.
My pleasure, too. And with that, we finish our report for January, for this first month of 2013, leading up to Dragon Con. Like I said, we want to hear from all the listeners out there, so feel free to contact us. And in the meantime, well, I guess we'll see you at the show.
Time to head home. See you next week here, Station
1. What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
It ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... The tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.